B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Richie likes a pretzel.
You're out of control.
Just eat it, Richie. He's nibbling on it.
So has too many toys to play with today.
This place is great, man.
Yeah, I can tell.
Pull that sucker.
I can tell you, Jay. Is it really 2 pounds?
Yeah.
That's, I don't know.
Come down for one large intestine pretzel.
Large intestine.
Hey, we got bowling pins here. Top five list, things you can do with bowling pins. You can bowl.
You can bowl.
You can beat the hell out of somebody. That's a good club.
You can do that.
Garlic, press at home. Yeah. Yeah, chop up your garlic.
Okay.
Maybe roll out some pizzas.
Uh-huh.
Juggle.
Juggle.
We need my man Hardy. Hardy would be, oh, man.
Has Hardy ever juggled full-size bowling pins?
Have you ever done that, Hardy?
Those aren't good for juggling. No, what you're looking for, gentlemen.
You want clown pins.
These are heavy. They're called, you couldn't juggle these.
We don't call them pins in the biz. We call them clubs, juggling clubs.
Clubs.
Brian Dubay made wonderful juggling clubs that jugglers for years have enjoyed using. But actual bowling pins, no, you don't juggle those.
But they're designed to look like bowling pins, are they
not?
Oh,
sure. Oh, sure, Beetle. That's correct.
Yeah, these are heavy.
No, you wouldn't want to do that. They're not weighted properly. You need something that's a little more.
It's very heavy.
Yeah.
Heavier than a pretzel.
It's a good-looking pretzel. Are you going to eat that or what?
No, that's for
the
display.
One over there on the other side.
That's for display.
That's for display.
That's a display pretzel here at Apex Entertainment, Marlboro.
It's not real. So could you eat it if you wanted to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you eat it?
You know, it's like going in fancy cafe joints.
Because we got lunch on the way.
Oh. It's like going in fancy cafe joints, and you get up there to order the lunch, and everything's already pre-made. You could say, oh, that's what the Reuben looks like. I mean, it might be sitting there for 4 months, but the display plates. That's what that's like.
Okay.
Yeah, like they spray it with something, preserve it.
It's called lacquer.
Oh, yep.
Lacquer it up.
Yep.
Okay.
There's so much damn lacquer on that thing.
Right, Richie?
Yeah.
Richie said, yeah.
If Zoe doesn't take Richie home with him today, it'll be the upset of the day.
What the hell I want to do with this at home?
I don't know. What do you want to do with it here?
He's doing a show with us.
You've been talking to it all day.
Right, man? You're doing a show with us. Yeah.
I can just see Zoe sitting on his couch watching TV with Richie.
You know the lion's going home with me. That one's going home with me.
What are you going to do with the lion?
What am I, like that weirdo down in New York with the hills?
Oh, yeah.
Is that a lion or is that a tiger?
Yeah, it's a tiger. It's
not
a tiger.
Up on my wildlife, but
it's a tiger.
I'm pretty sure
it's a tiger.
The stripes.
It's
your
a tiger.
Tip off.
And we've told this story before, but
Joe Beningo.
4 years ago, we were doing a remote at Foxwoods.
Right.
Back when we were under the same corporate umbrella as WFAN.
Right.
And we did a cross broadcast with Joe and Evan.
Right.
And Joe Beningo explained to us.
There was a rather large
because he walked by with a stuffed lion, probably about this size.
Yeah.
And we looked at him and said, what the hell is that? And he's like, oh, yeah, this is, I collect these for my wife.
He's got an entire room.
He's got an entire room in his house filled with life-size stuffed exotic animals.
Yeah, they're the swingers, too, that thing.
I don't know that they're that. I mean, but he was into... That's he was into large
through, man. Let's
stuffed
get,
animals.
A disco ball. Let's get crazy. Midday radio.
That's
driving nuts.
That's what he was into, and he thought nothing of it. He couldn't believe that we were asking. He's like, what, this? Yeah, no. The giant life-size stuffed lion that you're carrying around Foxwoods. We're sort of curious about that.
Right.
Collect these. A little bit. Let's get back to your call. 617-779-0985. Last night, Celtics lose to the 76ers, and it was another comeback win for the 76ers, who are a higher seed than the Celtics.
Oh, huge win for them.
I think it's a big momentum type of builder for them. I don't think it's going to mean a damn thing if these two teams match up in the playoffs, though.
You'll sweep them or you'll win in five.
Should have them feeling good right now, though.
You'll kick Philly's ass in the playoffs.
They needed help. They needed a lot of things to go their way in that game last night. They needed Aaron Baines to get hurt. They needed Marcus Smart to act like a complete jackass. They needed Kyrie Irving to shoot 3 of 13 from beyond the arc. They needed the disparity in the free throws. I hate bringing that up, but I'll bring it up for the rest of you. But they needed all those things to happen. They needed no Gordon Hayward to play last night. They needed all of that. But it just feels like the malaise with the Celtics continues. There's something to that with this team. And Marcus Smart takes a cheap shot at Joel Embiid last night, pushes him from behind when he doesn't see it coming. And even then, when he gets tossed from the game, which Brad Stevens wasn't happy about, he's taunting the crowd on the way out. Like, what are you doing? Stop. Please. If you stay in the game, they win. If Marcus Smart stays in the game, they win the game.
That's the way Brad looks at it. Yeah, but he also knows that's what comes to territory with that guy. And that's why that guy's got to be your sixth man coming off the bench.
And then you got Terry Rozier in the post game, you know, talking about where's the confetti from Philadelphia. Big win for them. Where's the confetti? You lost, Terry. You guys lost the game. It's just like an attitude with this team. Like, what's your deal? You guys have not lived up to your potential this year. The Celtics are underachievers to this point. Underachievers. And I actually think it's going to be pretty hard for them to overachieve based on the expectations before the year.
Overachieving's getting to the finals.
Okay, I think now it is. I don't think that was the case in the beginning of the year.
They're one game away from getting there. Less is underachieving.
Go back to how we felt at the start of the year. Were we saying that they'd be overachieving by getting to the finals? Now I think it's true.
Oh, now it would definitely be considered that, yeah.
So we've got the Celtics in the mix today, along with the Mookie Betts contract situation. And, the NCAA tournament starts today as well. That's why we're at Apex here in Marlboro, right off of 495. Exit 24B. Can't miss it.
Can't.
Come off the exit.
It's huge.
Right
80,000 square feet.
It's gigantic.
They got, like, hatchet throwing upstairs and everything.
They got bowling.
They got race cars. They got the simulators. All the simulators are here upstairs. They have a massive arcade.
80,000 square feet of fun.
F1 racing.
Bars everywhere, $2 beers, 50-cent wings, all that good stuff.
Oh my God, is that Seth Davis? He likes like Dick Clark. He looks like the same.
Where?
He looks like the same he did.
Where are you looking? I don't see
right
Seth
here.
Davis.
They just clicked away from him.
Oh,
he's doing the desk show prior to the start of the tournament. I guess our whole sales department dumped out. There must be
a lot of meetings.
There must be a free lunch downstairs somewhere.
See, that just tells you to our previous caller. People care about this. They enjoy watching the tournament, even if they don't have the teams. It would be made even better with that real local angle that we could dig in.
Sure would.
Even though we've got Northeastern today, I'm rooting for you, Northeastern. Rooting like hell for you.
We'd be doing a promo up in Boston if you had.
How great would that be if Northeastern won today, if they pull off an upset?
Be great.
Over Kansas.
Be great.
Be fabulous. Let's do this. Let's get to the action update. Check in with the guys in the desert, see if they got anything on the tournament today. I know that they'll have some local stuff, but we'll see what they have, and when we come back, we'll go to your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
First, our introduction.
Zolak. Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ben Simmons near midcourt. And Embiid got knocked down by Smart, and Embiid wants a piece of him. The two of them are nose to nose in the middle of the lane. Embiid took a tough spill near the baseline, and Smart just kind of stood there and watched them fall.
Wow.
I didn't see what precipitated that.
Oh, that's on.
I mean, all it was just a steal at the other end, and now Marcus Smart's going to have to be led off the floor. Well, Embiid's going to be led in the other direction.
Not sure what happened there.
And now Smart taunting the crowd as he walks back to the bench.
We might be able to get a replay. Where was it? Embiid came and pushed Marcus down first.
Okay.
And then Marcus retaliated.
And knocked Embiid down from behind. So Embiid knocked Marcus down first.
Hostile act.
Oh my God. Just ejected Marcus Smart.
Huh.
NCAA tournament underway. That was Marcus Smart getting booted last night in the Celtics game. I know it's an obvious take that he was a jackass last night, and if he doesn't get kicked out, they win, which I believe. Like, I just thought he acted like a jackass. But, I will say this. I do appreciate Marcus Smart for being the guy. I do have an appreciation for him being a guy with some edge. And sometimes a guy doing a stupid thing to display a little hate.
Yeah.
It's not the worst thing in the world.
Right.
It's not.
I mean, that's him. That's him, though. I'm sorry I'm laughing. Minnesota's playing Louisville now. Yeah. Minnesota looks like they had three kids that are 45 years old.
And so you didn't have your headset on. But Jim just said off the air. He said, wow, Minnesota's got some guys that look sort of old. And Jim had, I think he liked the under in this game.
Great pace so far. I love
right
the pace.
And right now, they're nearly 5 minutes, they're 4-plus minutes into the game.
Gassed.
And it's a 4-3 game. Actually, check that. It's now a 5-4 game.
Good.
9 points.
Them kids are old.
Through the first, we'll say 4.5 minutes. 617-779-0985. And by the way, the NCAA tournament, as much as I like it, and so you like it too.
Oh, I like the action.
Yeah,
sure.
You do.
I, you know what I do? I end up always looking in whoever the hell's playing. I don't have any rooting interest, obviously. Maryland's a 6 seed. They're probably not going to go far in it. But I love rooting for the underdogs in all the games. I don't know why.
And people will say, oh, you know what? I like college better than I like the NBA because they play defense, and you know what? They really care.
That's that part of it is.
It's not true, though. This is not a better product than the NBA.
But it was a time when I liked Steph Curry. Remember when Steph Curry went on that run? Remember Davidson? Yeah. Because it's little Davidson, Steph Curry, a guy you knew nothing about. And then he turned into what he's turned into. But I love old Steph Curry.
But don't kid yourself. This is a lot of fun. I enjoy it. Like I was saying the other day, that when it comes to the final couple of weeks, or let's say the final 3 weeks of the NBA season versus watching tournament time, like, you're going to pick the tournament. It's more competitive on a night-in, night-out basis, but it's not better basketball.
Right.
I don't believe that. And you will see some things that happen in the final minutes of games that are mind-boggling stupid. Just stupid. And you say to yourself, where is the coaching? Where is the coaching? Where, these college coaches that get so much praise and get so much credit when their teams play well, you will see them do some of the most moronic things in the final minutes of games.
Dave.
When you look at these coaches and say,
"Because you're not ready,
do you coach or are you just a recruiter?" You will see that. You will see that this weekend. You will see it starting today.
Right.
You get all these great upsets in the final minutes, and many times on the other side of a great upset, and a great buzzer beater is something stupid that the other team did along the way. It's not the most crisp basketball at times.
Out of control. It's out of control basketball.
Yeah, but it's fun. It's fun.
They just had first time out. They're all gassed. Everybody's gassed already.
Marshall is in Rhode Island today. What's up, Marshall?
Good afternoon, fellas.
Hi.
He's clearly not the biggest problem on the team, but a couple of weeks ago when the Celtics were on their West Coast trip, after the Sacramento game, Brad Stevens mentioned something along the lines of, it matters, you know, how we play, like the result doesn't, you know, matter as much. Do you think that might have an effect on the mentality of this team right now?
No, I think, you know, that's what is most important to him, if they're responding to him. And yeah, we've had him on at certain weeks where, you know, you didn't play well. You obviously didn't win the game, but he said, I like the way we played in the end of the third quarter through the fourth.
Well, you're also talking about a time when they were lifeless.
Right.
You got to put it in context.
You got to take it for what it is and apply it to the time of it all now. I don't think players are affected by that at all. Like, oh, I hear the coach just, it's all matters we play. Oh, that's all he cares about. No.
Yeah.
Nah, you always want to win.
I think you got to put that in context of what was going on at the time, which was the team looked lifeless. And then they went out to the West Coast and they found themselves. And he said, you know, it was nice that we won, but what I care more about was there was a response.
Yeah.
They responded to the situation.
Yeah. Real quick, NBC Sports Boston, you able to swing that camera over on our ace tech guy, Dennis Knutson? It's one of the He's our chief engineer. He's got the big title. It's one of the biggest oddities in the human race, the way this guy eats. So we travel with him on the road to Patriots
And everybody
games.
Knows this about you, Dennis.
We
now.
Travel. The, it's like out. It's like going with a 4 year. My 4 year old has more of a taste bud type of experience and more of a palate than Dennis does. Dennis, wherever he is and whatever he orders, tell him what you order. You
he
order
likes
a
burger a certain
burger.
Way.
It's got to be a burger plain well done. You know, it amazes me. Your interest in my eating habits, it never ceases to amaze
because
me.
Because it always has to be the same.
With it. I've
he's been obsessed
out,
with oh, a no. lot of things, but this
oh,
is
no.
bizarre.
I've been out there. I'm bizarre. We've been out to breakfast before. Now, he orders ham and eggs.
He's Jim Nance.
No, listen. He orders ham and eggs.
He's Jim Nance with the toast.
God forbid for that poor lady named Helen, the little waitress in that little diner that
she
we go to
like
on the road.
She looked like
that little piece of ham touched a portion of the eggs. It gets sent back. Even though he ordered ham and eggs,
I don't
it's all
go,
going
I don't
the
go that far. I don't
oh,
go
didn't?
That far.
You
no,
didn't
no,
do
no,
that?
No, no, no,
you never sent it back when the ham.
Never, never.
Do we need to call Chuck and Mike?
You call Chuck and Mike all you want. No,
you're
never,
lying right
never
now.
That far.
You know
if,
it did.
If the eggs aren't cooked
it
enough,
was,
yes,
it was,
I'll send
it was,
back.
It, no.
So you're down on runny eggs.
The ham touched
down
it.
On runny eggs.
God forbid you put mayonnaise
you like a
on
runny egg?
I love it.
Love a runny egg.
Oh.
All right, back to the show.
That's just a disagreement over the style of egg.
Right.
But the burger plain well done.
How many years have I been around? 20?
Well
20, 20
done.
Plus years? 20 plus years, right? About that pre-post game shows. It's all I eat. Same thing every time. No change. I give credit. It's consistency.
Well done.
You never, that's one thing. I mean, you walk in a restaurant, you never have to get one of these, a menu, if you're him.
He knows what he wants.
Yeah.
He's a man who knows.
Yep. He's like Jim Nance. That burger better be a rock.
He is. He's Jim Nance with the toast.
You better
he's
be
Dennis,
able to take that patty.
Dennis with the burger.
You better be able to knock with that patty.
Yes. Do we want to talk to Blair in Maine?
He did call the afternoon show yesterday.
All right, Blair, what do you have?
What
do
you got?
On the NCAA tournament.
I got Yale, Nevada, and New Mexico State.
I love you. Fade or follow, as Joe Murray likes to say. Yale, Nevada, and New Mexico State, I think he said. Those are his teams.
Who did he call in last year where he gave predictions? We weren't
was
really
he eating
the
cereal? Was he eating cereal again?
Oh, my God. Who did he give
he
predictions?
Was about to do another product placement.
He gave predictions for something else. It wasn't an NCAA tournament.
I don't remember. I don't remember. I don't know how you follow that up, Jimmy and Natick, but take it away.
Hey, boys. So I just want to touch on the fact that we got a good chance of sweeping the four major sports here. I mean, I know it's unlikely, but, I mean, it might be the best chance we have ever. And I know I put $100 on the Bees going all the way once they started the streak, so I guess I'm curious to see who you guys have, either the Celtics or the Bees. And as far as March Madness goes, Zoe, baby, let's go, Buffalo. That's my alma mater, baby. I know.
All right, Jimmy.
I
don't okay.
Yeah.
Who do you like more to win it all? If you had to pick one, Celtics or Bees, who do you like?
Celtics.
Yeah, I don't. I like the Bees.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the Boston Bruins' chances more than I like.
I say that with.
And I don't think either one is going to win it. But
right, nor
but,
do I. But
if
I said
you
the
asked me at the start of
help.
The year,
yeah.
I'm like, oh god, it's the Celtics, and it's because they have an easier path to get to the finals. Now,
right,
forget it. The Celtics have shown no grit and balls, as we like to say about the green team.
I'm waiting for that switch.
The Bruins have all kinds of.
They could switch that
attitude.
If they could flip the switch. If they could flip the switch, I think they got a shot.
Bruins have really shown us something this year.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something with that.
But they've
team.
Done that all year.
They fight their ass off.
Yeah, never out of
the
it.
Bruins. The Celtics? Have we seen anything close to the level of fight in the Celtics
now,
that we've seen with
now,
the Bruins?
I think you could compare. I think you could compare the Bruins and the way they've consistently fought, never got out of games, and kept it close and late, and even when it went late, won in overtime. The way the Red Sox did. Red Sox did that a lot last year. Didn't matter if it was 18 innings, 19 innings. They got to wake up, play again the next day, play till you win. And the Bruins have a little bit of that, like just like the Red Sox did.
We got a 12-11 game.
Things the three old dudes, the three old dudes are going to get in. Freaking gassed. Look at them. They just ran into each other.
Why, Jim, why are these teams so tired today?
No, it's not that they're tired. This, Lanny and I are sitting in the studio here in Dorchester talking about it. This is the dirty little secret of the tournament. A lot of these teams, not good. A lot of these players, not
everybody
good.
Everybody just runs shit. Yeah,
sneaky bad
at
basketball.
Iowa Central Time Zone, right?
Did you see what? That put back? That
Iowa is Central Time Zone, correct?
Iowa? Yes.
I don't know.
So that'd be 11:15 in the morning there. Start time.
Yeah. That's tough for old guys.
Yeah, they're Central. They're an hour behind. Minnesota. Minnesota and Louisville.
Four air balls in it.
That is. It's the dirty little secret of the tournament. I was just talking about that, Art.
Yeah,
people like to try and tell you that this is better than the NBA. It ain't.
And it's gyms you never played in.
No, it's bad. But that's part of the fun. And the defense is fun to watch. I mean, these guys don't let anybody in inside in the paint and everything, which makes for low scoring because a lot of these guys can't shoot threes. But, I mean, that's fun to watch because they are playing like, every game is like, you know, round two or three of the NBA playoffs. I mean, every possession is contested. Every pass is contested. That's what makes it good. But in terms of like actual like good basketball, not always.
Yale is coming up at 12:40. They take on LSU.
I got Yale.
We got the first New England team in it coming up at 12:40. So we'll keep you up to date on all these scores today. If you're following along with your brackets. Get your brackets out, Zoe. Check your brackets.
I'm good. Richie's got them.
Did Richie fill out a bracket?
Richie can't even write. He got fingers.
We'll send it back to the Town Fair Tire Studios. Here's Hardy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Soda.
Pop.
Okay. 16-13 Louisville over Minnesota right now. Eight and a half minutes to go. In the first half. That under 62.5 is looking good. Looking real good right
now.
Won
that one, Jim.
Yep.
He said, not yet. Not yet. I like your odds.
Not yet. They're combined 2 for 15 from three. If they start hitting threes, they'll get points quickly.
Yeah. Who'd Blair pick? Yell? What were Blair's other picks?
She just bet him just to see what the hell happened. Blair actually likes Yell over 14 over.
Yes. Do we want to talk to Blair in Maine?
He did call the afternoon show yesterday.
All right, Blair, what do you have?
What do
you
got
on the NCAA tournament?
I got Yell, Nevada, and New Mexico State.
There you go. Yell, Nevada, New Mexico State.
All right.
I got Yale, Nevada, and New Mexico State.
You want to do the Blair and Maine parlay? There it is. Those are his pro picks of the day.
Should be a guest of the Over Under podcast.
I was going to say, who needs the action update when you get Blair and Maine with that kind of action? Those kind of pro picks. Seth is in the car. What's up, Seth?
So before I get to my point, I just want to say the first loss of the day goes to the ESPN Tournament Challenge app that decided to crash 15 minutes before the before the tournament start, and it's still not up. So you can't see your bracket, you can't see your group, can't see who anybody picks, none of that.
Huh?
Wow. The whole thing's crashed. But anyways, as far as
what did you do, bracket?
No, the ESPN Tournament bracket app.
Like
crashed. It doesn't
brackets,
work.
This whole thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No bad for
anyways, Baines. For Baines, there. I think that we're not giving enough credit to this injury, and I think that we're actually going to see him be out into the playoffs, as far as what I've seen, and I think that's going to have a bigger effect and could actually lead to a first round bump.
I'm with you on that. The fact they put a degree on it, actually call it grade two.
Right, and I think we saw.
If it's nothing, they say, "Hey, tweaked it. He's day to day. We'll keep an eye on him. I'll update you tomorrow." You know,
right?
Too. See you in a couple weeks.
Right, exactly. And I think that over the past couple of months, we saw kind of what this team looks like without a big man, and when we have to play with Tice, and when Tice is pulling those threes out of his butt like he was early in the season, I don't think he's really going to be a rotational player. Robert Williams clearly isn't where he's supposed to be. And or where we want him to be so we can get any minutes. And so I think that if we face a decent big man in the first round, we could actually see a lot of issues just rebounding and having any internal presence in there.
Well, I will say this. If Aaron Baines' injury does take him out playoff time, yeah, that's going to be a bad injury, damaging. I will say Danny Ainge was on TNR this morning, and he thought it was closer to being a day-to-day type of injury than it is a multiple weeks type of injury. So, again, they're not even 24 hours out from the injury having happened, right? When the swelling sort of starts to subside a little bit.
Yeah.
I think we got to know more before we assume the worst.
Who tagged it? Great.
But if it is the worst, that was last night. That was the official one was given.
Wow.
But you know how that works, though. I mean, there's varying degrees of each grade. I think they should go to a 1 to 10 scale. 1 to 10. A
couple threes starting to fall.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. He's still safe. Still safe.
Yeah, shoot to get hot.
6:28 to go in the first.
And good screen right there by the 50-year-old.
Oh, nice shot, too.
Nice.
Nice shot. 21-17. Minnesota. Can we get a Yale score? Their game's supposed to have started already.
That guy upset about the app.
Yeah.
He realizes they don't put the apps on until it's like they don't keep track of anything until his game's completed. There's one game halfway through. Nobody's winning the brackets yet. Not one person's winning. There's no games yet.
Yeah, but what if games should be final? What if you didn't put your picks in yet?
Well, then you waited too long.
Yeah, well, that's, I think, his point. He's saying that he tried to make his picks this morning, and he couldn't.
Yale, Nevada, and New Mexico State.
Travis is in Medford. Hey, Travis.
Hey, I don't know why you guys take calls from people from Maine. It's ridiculous.
I agree.
It's absolutely ridiculous. From the last caller, I mean, he's ridiculous, too. I don't care. I'm going to go Zolak. What I'm going to say is the Patriots did the same thing that the Celtics are going to do. The Bruins look good. They look great. But the Patriots, what, 11-5? And
yeah, where are we going with this? And
the Patriots, they turn it on in the playoffs. And I think the Celtics would do the same thing. You got superstars taking, I want to take a break. I want to do this. I want to do that. But they will turn it on in the playoffs. And the rebounding, Brad Stevens, his coaching style isn't about rebounding. That's why all our big men shoot threes. Simple.
Okay. That's all he's got.
What have they ever shown you that we could flip that switch and just going to toy with people? Let's go on a two-week run here.
They haven't done that.
That's what scares you about it. I'd love to believe it.
Why don't you guys flip that switch for like a week?
Yeah.
Just do it for like a week.
Get a little taste of it. You know? Give us a little taste.
Flip the switch for 10 days.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
Wouldn't it be great if they say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go on. We're going to play our ass off on this road trip. And then we come back home. We're going to rest some guys, just to let you all know. It's not going to be injury related, but we're going to see if we can flip it. And then go and just house people by like 25. Yeah, we're good. There's been no indicators of that. So, I mean, we hope it. Hey, I'm with you. I feel the same way. When I got on a bus in Pittsburgh, never thought this Patriots were going to win this year. Coming back from that Pittsburgh game, you're thinking, okay, yeah, they got the two layups at home, but you're not hosting. You're in a bad spot. You're playing like dog right now in December. Never did I think, boy, we're going to be okay. See, there's people that look at the Celtics and say they're okay. Does Max look at it that way? When he and Grandy and Wallach last night, when you get on that plane after that, you say, that's okay. You see it. We're all right. I just remember getting on that bus in Pittsburgh like, wow. This is it. Thought it was beginning of the end. No, they figured it out. They flipped the switch.
617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls coming up here on Zolak and Bertrand. We're live from Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Also want to get back into the Mookie Betts conversation. Mookie Betts yesterday with some comments about his contract situation following Mike Trout getting a boatload of cash. We'll get back to that next.
At Giant Eagle, you may have spotted the Stacker. With uncanny MyPerks ability, she stacks up the perks to choose either dollars off or up to 20% off her entire grocery bill. The Stacker, stacking up huge savings with MyPerks. Find your MyPersonality and transform your shopping into free gas and groceries. Full details at GiantEagle.com/MyPerks. Perks cannot be earned or redeemed on select items. Restrictions apply.
Zolak and that.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Welcome in the head coach of the New England Revolution. It's Brad Friedel with us. Coach, what's up?
Guys, what's happening?
We're doing well. Coming off that loss to Toronto, I know there was a controversial goal that happened just before halftime, and that goal seemed to change the game. You were critical of the referee halftime on TV. After having the chance to maybe go back and see it and review it, has your mind been changed at all? And should that goal have counted, or do you think maybe it was a bad call?
No, I don't agree with the referee's interpretation. I've spoken with Howard Webb at Pro. I've spoken, 100 out of 100 people that I've spoken to in the game. Everyone thinks that that's offsides. I don't understand how the referees are distinguishing if a player takes a shot at goal and a player lunges to deflect it and it goes in the path of a player who's offside and he taps it in, that's deemed offside. But if he passes it directly to a player who's taken advantage in an offside position and it deflects off a player, that's not deemed offside. I don't understand how you can differentiate the two. And if you read the wording, it says deliberate action, a second play, and a second action in the play. And the fact of the matter is, it's all one action, because the only reason Tony is diving or lunging for the ball is because a player is passing a ball to a player in an offside position that Tony didn't know was in an offside position. So I stand by thinking clearly. Referees that I've spoken to think that it should be called offside, and they're being hampered by how some people might interpret the rule. Huh. So, no, I stand by thinking that it was offside. I'm not saying that it's going to be called offside in the future if it happens in the quarter, but I guarantee you through the season, as the season rolls on, there will be a game where that play or something similar to it will be deemed offside, and then we'll be speaking about this again.
Coach, I agree with you, too, that the advantage that was gained by being offside wasn't negated in any way. So the advantage was still there. That doesn't make any sense. But what's even a bigger problem is once the flag goes up for offside, a lot of players change the way they're going to behave on that play. And even if the flag goes down immediately afterward, well, you've already influenced how the play is unfolding by putting the offside flag up in the first place. So how do they fix that portion of it?
Well, they're telling linesmen to keep their flags down, for one. So the linesman put his flag up. That's definitely the case. Just as in a very critical game for us last season away at Philadelphia,
yes,
the linesman put his flag up and a player stopped. We have told our players that you have to play till you hear the whistle. But I also agree with you. It's difficult, especially when you know the flag has gone up. It's an instinct. It's a reaction straight away. The flag goes up, you automatically think you stop. I just think the way the offside rules have transformed over the years creates a lot of gray areas for the referees. And now with the inclusion of VAR, I believe that a lot of referees would prefer maybe to make the mistake, hoping it'll get corrected. Definitely they've been instructing the linesmen to try to keep their flags down. It is a play. We have, and the referees by the association has told us, by the way, that other teams around MLS have called and said, how on earth is that deemed onside? So this is not a gray area really for any players and coaches in the game. And when it's explained, none of us agree with it or understand why the rule is how it is. So it's a confusing one. There's no doubt about that. But our players came out in the second half and did a very good job to get back in the game. And the third goal is our own making. That was against us. It wasn't a great play by them, any stretch of the imagination. We had plenty of opportunity to keep the ball at the time. And it was during a time of the game they had brought on Simon and we brought on Juan Agudelo, which is a mismatch with pace. I was very happy with how those substitutions transpired. And, you know, it was a silly goal to concede. But I was proud of the players' effort. I thought we competed pretty well. And we started to attack a little bit quicker, especially with our, like you saw in our second goal. And I thought Teal caused Mavinga a lot of problems going forward. And, you know, we're going to look to play an even more high-tempo game on Sunday against Cincinnati.
Not Sunday, and you get to come home, and I know they're going to be missing some players because of the call-ups, but I still wanted to go back to, okay, it's a long season, and, you know, we do this interview with you every week, and you spend a lot of time talking about the refs. What is protocol? Like, see, when you get very upset by something, like in football, we see plays, and you send them to the league on Tuesday, and you end up getting a hey, I'm a sorry letter back from the league, and there's nothing they can do about it, but is there anything you can help facilitate that or change that throughout the course of the year?
Well, we also have to understand we're still a relatively new league, you know, with regards to experience around the world, and the referees are catching up. There's no doubt about that. I don't mean that in a disrespectful manner at all. Howard Webb is a very, very good man and was one of the very best referees. He's in charge of things now, and he's helping out. He's very honest with his opinions, and he tells us when he feels that there are mistakes and when there are not mistakes. And I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you that being a referee is easy, because it's not. It's a very thankless job, and we right. we do need them in the game. Hopefully, as we roll on in the years, video review will get better and better. But the only way video review gets better is by the referees themselves getting better, which they will year in, year out. So we do have to try to be a little bit patient with it. But protocols, it's a tough one. They'll speak to us, but there's nothing that can change the results or the events that took place. You know, and if we really want to go into nitpicking, Will Zahibo getting a yellow card and Tony De La Maia getting a yellow card, and then Diego Fagundes, they're not even being a call when Simon jumps on his back for the similar thing that Tony got a yellow card, and Carlos Gil gets chopped down three times, one of which Osorio elbowed him in the back of the head, and all four of those plays are no calls. Those are the things that get me a little bit more incensed when there's inconsistencies. A gray area on an offside, it's a tough one for the referee, but the inconsistencies, and that's something that the referees will gain over time, I'm sure.
Speaking of Cincinnati, as you mentioned, Sunday, 4 p.m., NBC Sports Boston, and on the radio here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. First-year MLS team, is the preparation when you're playing an expansion team like that different from other games?
No, not at all. They're missing, as was spoken earlier, they're missing five players on international duty. We're missing two. We'll have to see if Fernando Adi, who's a big part of their attack and on attacking set pieces, it looked like he turned his ankle pretty bad. So we'll have to see if he's going to be playing. But Cruz is definitely a miss for them. Maddox, if Fernando Adi isn't available, then Maddox is a big miss for them. Waston, another player who's very good on attacking set pieces, could be a big miss for them. So they do have some, and Powell, of course, they're right back. So they do have some pieces missing. So we have to prepare like the players that are going to come in for them are going to play. This is their one and only shot to impress the coach. And sometimes games like that can be even harder because the players are given their full allotted effort. I feel that if we give our full allotted effort, which I'm sure we will get, then we'll be capable of getting the 3 points. But we won't prepare any differently.
All right, Revs coach Brad Friedel. Brad, appreciate the time.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Take care. Brad Friedel with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline here on Zolak and Bertrand. We'll send it back to Hardy in the Town Fair Tire Studios. And as promised, we will play that Mookie Betts sound for you, what he had to say yesterday about his future and his future contract. We'll get to that coming up in 90 seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.